Good evening. Welcome to Good Shepherd. As you can see, and as many of you already know, Pastor Poppy and Pastor Murundi are in Fort Wayne, so by the grace of God, we'll get through this together, because it's just me. So, as usual, without communion, our order of service is Vespers, page 229. You have your propers for this evening as we observe the Confession of St. Peter, the festival of the Confession of St. Peter. Other than that, I don't have any announcements, only just to add to the prayers that are listed there in the bulletin. We want to include also Good Shepherd members Sherry and Brent Travis, who Monday had a granddaughter who was called to her heavenly rest shortly after she was born. So, by the grace of God, I got the phone call and was able to go there and baptize the baby. And so, our hope is in the forgiveness of sins that was given to her in the waters of holy baptism, and that we'll see her again in the resurrection. But keep Sherry and Brent Travis in your prayers, as well as Brent's daughter, Stacy, and her husband, Mark, as they grieve this loss. So, with that, we'll start with our opening hymn, 940.
Thank you.
Order of worship, Vespers, page 229. Page 229.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise
continue with our intro. It as printed on your service insert. We chant it together. The first reading for the festival of the Confession of St. Peter is written in Acts chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with the words of our gradual as printed on your service insert. We speak them together. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We also believe, and so we also speak, as one who speaks oracles of God. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The epistle is written in 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." O Lord, have mercy on us. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Upon what or who is the church built? Upon what or who does the church have her foundation? Now, this is an important question for the church to answer at all times and in every place. That is, the entire church of God in Christ Jesus, and even, which includes, this congregation here in Lincoln, Nebraska. So again, the question, upon what or who is the church of God built? Now, our friends in Rome would like to build the church on the back of St. Peter's person himself. That is to say, they see here in this passage that we heard from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the establishment and the anointing of the first pope. We don't hear exactly the verse that they use to support this false teaching, because it comes in Matthew's account of the confession of St. Peter. There Jesus says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Sounds like they have it right, doesn't it? However, as soon as the church is built upon St. Peter's person, in the understanding of the Roman Catholic Church, all the quicker do the gates of hell prevail against St. Peter. For the Holy Spirit, foreseeing this false teaching that would arise, places the fall of St. Peter immediately after his wonderful confession that Jesus is the Christ, so that we realize that we ought not put our trust in St. Peter himself or any other man, but in the confession that comes out of Peter's mouth. We ought not elevate Peter to a place that he does not belong, nor to a place that he himself desires to be, obviously. Because who wants to be the guy who bears the burden and the weight of the entire church? And furthermore, who wants to be the guy who defends her against the gates of hell? Well, certainly not a man, a mortal man, but the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is the one who does this. For that reason, this evening, we are observing the festival of the confession of St. Peter, and not necessarily St. Peter himself. Now, this is not to denigrate the blessed apostle. He is, after all, named as the foremost among the apostles by our Lord, and that is no small thing. But the burden of the church's foundation, against which the gates of hell shall not prevail, does not rest upon the back of one man, nor on the backs of many men throughout the course of history. The church cannot be upheld by men. But it, like everything else in this world, is upheld by the power of God's Word. Now, some would say that de-emphasizing Peter on the festival of the confession of St. Peter is kind of shameful, and they ought to get up from their pews and remove themselves from the church. Well, you have to wonder then, where are they putting their trust for the future and the continuation of Christ's church on earth? Do not put your trust in princes, the psalmist warns, nor in the Apostle Peter, nor in any other man for that matter. But rather, put your trust in the confession that comes out of Peter's mouth. Because according to Jesus, in St. Matthew's account, this was revealed to Peter not by flesh and blood, but by his Father who is in heaven. It is a heavenly revelation. Now, in contrast to this, when Peter rebukes Jesus, that was an anti-confession that was in fact revealed by the flesh and blood of Peter. That is to say, by the mind of Satan and of man, and not by God the Father who is in heaven. Now, the confession that we're celebrating this evening, of course, is, "You are the Christ." Herein is what the Christian and Apostolic Church is built upon. This confession of St. Peter to Jesus, "You are the Christ." That's it. Jesus is the Christ. That is, the Anointed One, the Messiah promised of old, the one who was to come and put an end, that is, obliterate our enemies through his own death. This reality that Jesus is the Christ is the word upon which the church is built, and against which the gates of hell will never prevail. St. Peter, along with all of mankind, has a tendency to deviate and fall away from this truth, as surely as the seas go in and out from the shore. So thanks be to God that He does not build the church upon the backs of mortal men, nor suggests that He's going to try to continue it throughout time on the efforts of sinful men. But the church is built and sustained by Christ and the confession of Christ. Now, in one sense, St. Peter does represent the entire church. But the entire church is not represented in his person. But again, the entire church is represented in the confession that St. Peter makes, the one that is revealed by God the Father who is in heaven. This is or should be the confession of the church throughout every age and even to the end of time. That is, Jesus, you are the Christ. Now, immediately after this bold and profound confession of St. Peter comes his anti-confession. The confession that was revealed to him by his own flesh and blood. And it was not really even a confession at all, right? In the fear of suffering, Peter actually rebukes Jesus' teaching that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Perhaps Peter put two and two together. He thought to himself what later Jesus would confirm to Peter and the rest of the disciples, that a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So Peter wises up and thinks, if Jesus is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, If he's going to be put through some kind of kangaroo court and be indicted on the basis of false testimony, if he's going to be flogged, mocked, and spit upon, if he's going to bear his own cross and be crucified between criminals, if our Lord is going to die, what the heck does that mean for me? But in concern for his own life and in his fear, Peter has missed the seriousness of what our Lord taught when he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and die." And indeed, to understand the seriousness of what Jesus here says, this verse would be better translated, "It is necessary that the Son of Man suffer many things and die." It is necessary. That is to say, it cannot happen any other way. It must happen in the way that it was foretold by the prophets. It must happen in the way that Jesus here speaks plainly to his disciples. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men to die. And with these words, Jesus does in fact reveal what had been promised from days of old: the necessity of his own suffering and death for the sins of mankind, for the sins of St. Peter, for the sins of the disciples, for your sins. It is necessary that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Now, in one sense, Jesus' rebuke of St. Peter is to establish the who's who in the teacher-disciple dynamic. But there's more going on than just that. St. Peter must be rebuked because his rebuke to Jesus has satanic origins. His rebuke to Jesus must be rebuked by Jesus as he looks on the other disciples who are sitting there wondering what the heck St. Peter just did. What the devil attempted to do in the wilderness by tempting Jesus in kind of trickery, misquoting the Scriptures, he now blurts out in plain words from the mouth of the foremost of the apostles. And let this be a lesson to us now in the church, here and around the whole world. Our worth as a congregation is only as good as our blood-dripping confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When this unassailable truth is confessed by the church, the only thing the devil can do is stand out side and watch his own demise. He will, to be sure, try and usurp this truth with false teachers and a show of force. And those are exactly the things that drive Peter to rebuke Jesus: fear of suffering. To that, Peter says, "May it never be, Lord, that what you just described happened to you, to me, or to anyone else." But may the church never think this way that St. Peter thought in his weakness. We must understand that this confession indeed brings persecution and suffering. It goes without saying that when we confess that Jesus is the Christ and all that goes along with that, the enemies of God's people will persecute us in the midst of such confession. But we must confess it because it's the truth. It wasn't just thought up by a dozen guys walking down the road, imagining things in their head. This is the eternal truth of God's Word that has been given to us in this day and age. And we must confess this truth in the midst of these brute mobs who would assail us, who would ridicule us, and who would persecute us. That is, we must confess that Jesus is the Christ. That is, He is the one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. Because as much persecution as that confession brings to us, all the more comfort it brings to us in the midst of our persecution. when we confess that this Christ took on human flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary to begin to bear our sin and shame, that He bore these things in His body, in His earthly ministry, and ultimately to the cross to be put to death for our sins, and that He was raised again for our justification, we receive profound comfort, even in the midst of our sin, even in the midst of our persecution. Because we realize what kind of God we have. He's not some kind of pie-in-the-sky kind of God. Your best life now. He's the kind of God who comes into our flesh and suffers right along with sinful humanity and for sinful humanity to forgive our sins and to prepare a place for us in heaven where we will have eternal rest from all persecutions, from all sin, from all doubt, and from death itself. That's why we must confess this truth, this eternal truth that has been given to us from the Word of God, from the Lord Himself. And finally, the saints of God who have gone before us in the faith have a much more profound place in the life of the Lutheran Church than that of Rome. We do not flee to them for help, or pray to them, or expect good to come from them, because the Word of God does not command that we should do that. So how are we to use the saints? Is the question that Lutherans sometimes ask themselves. How are we to use this scene wherein St. Peter is put into league with Satan, the father of lies, and rebuked by Jesus for our good? We've already said that we don't put our trust in St. Peter's person, but rather in the confession that he made. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. However, as much as we see the Church's confession in the confession of St. Peter, you also should see yourself in the restoration of St. Peter by our Lord Jesus Christ. In his fear of suffering, he ignorantly rebuked the Lord, who spoke a truth that must be carried out. And yet when he so shamefully falls after that rebuke, the Lord Jesus does not allow him to flounder in his sin and shame. He raises him back up to the place from which he fell. And we see evidence of this in the reading from the book of Acts and from 2 Peter, where Peter is bold to confess the Christ. So too, when you fall into your sin and shame, our Lord will rebuke you as he did with St. Peter. For light has no place with darkness. Sin has no place in the life of a Christian. But as much as our Lord rebukes you for your good, He will restore you, as He restored St. Peter the denier. He will not allow you to go away altogether in your sin and shame, but will raise you up through this proclamation, through this truth, that it is necessary that the Christ go into the hands of sinful men, be delivered over to death, to forgive you of your sins. That's where He restores you. That's where He calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's where He tells you to put away your sin, because it has been put away in His wounds that He endured on the cross. So take heart. Don't put your trust in Peter, but trust in his confession. Because it is profound to comfort us in the midst of all of our troubles that our Lord Jesus is the Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Congregation stands. We continue with the Magnificat, page 231.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
be seated. We continue with our offering. Our service continues and concludes with the prayers of the church, page 233, beginning with the Kyrie, we stand. Apostle Peter, the blessed truth that your Son Jesus is the Christ. Strengthen us by the proclamation of this truth, that we too may joyfully confess that there is salvation in no one else, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are the Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, our Lord. We give you thanks that you, as the head of your body, the Church, continue to sustain and preserve us even as we press on in weakness and sin. Grant that we be as a faithful bride to her bridegroom, that we continue to gather in this place with the firm conviction that you are present with us to deliver to us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, you are the Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We give you thanks that in the mystery of your incarnation, you took upon yourself our flesh and blood. Intercede for us now, we pray, as our great high priest, who knows our weakness and frailty, because you were tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. Grant to us assurance of your bodily presence, even as we suffer in the midst of this valley of sorrows. Most especially do we pray for Todd and Good Shepherd members Sherry and Brent Travis and their children, whose granddaughter was called to her heavenly rest Monday afternoon. Deliver them and all for whom we pray according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the Christ who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. We give you thanks that you overcame sin, death, and the devil for us, suffering under the wrath of God as we deserved. Having given to us the fruits of your cross and the blessed sacraments, continue to strengthen us thereby, that though we are but poor, miserable sinners for your sake, the Father would look upon us as those fit for the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, you are the Christ, who descended into hell and the third day rose again from the dead. We give you thanks that you stepped into the devil's house, bound the strong man and proclaimed victory, your victory to him. More than that, you were raised from the dead and proclaimed the eternal victory that you accomplished for all of mankind through your death and resurrection. Grant to all of us who have received this very death and resurrection in holy baptism, to live thereby in faith toward you and in love toward our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Lord Jesus, you are the Christ who ascended into heaven and now sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and will from thence come to judge the living and the dead. We give you thanks that in your glorious ascension into heaven, you filled all things and rule now through your church. We give you thanks for sending to us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who strengthens and sustains us through the word and sacraments. Grant that we be strengthened by these means of grace, so that when the last trumpet sounds, we, together with all the saints, would be prepared for and rejoice in your second coming, wherein you will take us to live with you, the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, 828. the service. So good to see everyone. I don't have any announcements other than a reminder about the soup off. I don't know what to call it. It's a competition. So if you have a soup you want to bring on Sunday, it's at noon, right? There's sign-up sheets on the information table. There's also sign-ups for desserts and to bring cheese and crackers. So if you don't know how to make soup, bring some ice cream or something. I don't know. So, okay, well, thank you very much. Have a great evening and a great rest of your week.